Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Jesus teaches us with parables. The parable before us today teaches us about Christ and his church. The king is God, his servants are the prophets. The wedding of the king's son is the marriage of Christ to his bride, the holy Christian church. God sent his son Jesus into the world in order to gather together in his holy church his dear children of Israel. For the most part, they refused to believe in him. They persecuted and killed his messengers. Their city, Jerusalem, was destroyed, and the invitation to the wedding, that is, to Christ's church, went out to the whole world. But only those who trust in the righteousness of Jesus, who are wearing the wedding garment, are really welcome guests. The king is the one who can see who is clothed in the wedding garment. He can see who believes in his son. He knows those who belong to him. The church here on earth cannot be seen except by faith. I know what I believe. You know what you believe. No one but God can see what someone else believes. We go to church. Do we go to church because we are Christians, or do we go to church in order to be Christians? Both. We go to church because we are Christians. God tells us in the Bible not to neglect going to church. We join together with fellow Christians to sing praises to God. We belong together. The church is, as we confess in the Creed, the communion of saints. We are called to faith individually, but we confess the faith together. We also go to church in order to be Christians, that is, to keep the faith. We go to church because it is the banquet to which God has invited us. It is the wedding banquet of his dear Son, our Savior Jesus. To despise this feast is to despise the host, who is God himself. To reject the banquet is to reject God. God is patient with us, even when we stubbornly refuse to accept his gifts. When the first group invited to the wedding banquet refused to come, the king sent out more servants, more prophets and preachers, with the same invitation. He described the dinner. "My oxen and fatted cattle are killed. All things are ready. Come to the wedding." This is a banquet. You don't bring your own food. This is a heavenly banquet right here on earth. This is an expensive meal. You can't buy this food. You're too poor to pay for it. You can't prepare this food. Only God can. And he has. He feeds our souls with his divine grace. He covers us in Christ's righteousness in the waters of holy baptism. He feeds us with the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper. He gives us forgiveness of our sins, and this is what satisfies our soul's deepest hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said, for they shall be filled. Freely given to us, but dearly bought by Christ. Every treasure we receive when we gather in Jesus' name, we receive without cost to us. Every treasure we receive cost our Lord Jesus His holy, innocent life and His sacrificial death. What He did for us in obedience to the law and in suffering for our sins, He gives to us when we are gathered together to hear His gospel and receive His sacraments. People think they have better things to do than to go to church. That's nothing new. When Jesus came to establish His church on earth in fulfillment of the repeated promises God gave to ancient Israel through the prophets, many paid no attention to Him. They went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. They wanted to feed their bodies. They had jobs. They needed to make a living. We hear the same excuses today. Others were not just apathetic, but downright hostile to Christ's church. They attacked it and did violence to Christ's ministers, just as their forefathers had stoned the prophets of old. The king in the parable destroyed the murderers and burned their city. God caused the Roman general Titus to destroy Jerusalem in 70 AD. Blessing came from tragedy. Israel rejected Christ. That was the tragedy. God destroyed Jerusalem. From that tragedy came blessing. God calls people from all nations in the world. Invite anyone you find, the king in the parable said. All people, good and bad. I don't care about what they've done with their lives. I don't care about their religious pedigree. I want to feed their souls. They need what I have to give. So go and invite them in. And don't think that any one of them is not welcome. There is not one person in our community that God does not invite to the wedding banquet of His Son. The banquet is in the church, where we receive that expensive food, delicious, wholesome, life-giving food that's more precious than any money can buy. Here is the water joined to the Word where eternal life begins in us. Here is the name of the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here are the words taught by God through His servants. Here is the grace won on Calvary, but given within the church walls every time the gospel is preached. Here is the body given for us. Here is the blood shed for us. Here is the banquet, the feast, the holy meal by which God makes us His holy temple. Yes, ancient Jerusalem was destroyed, and its temple lay in ruins as the barbarians desecrated the Holy of Holies and blasphemed the God of Israel. But that same God has rebuilt His temple, and it is in His holy Christian church. It is His people whom He has joined together wherever they're gathered to receive His food. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is invited. But there are those who don't belong. They come to the banquet, they're inside the walls where the gospel is preached and the sacraments are administered, but they don't belong. They're invited, but they don't belong. You see, they're not wearing the right clothes. I'm not talking about clothes covering your body that people can see. I'm talking about clothes that cover the shameful nakedness of your sin. You can't buy those clothes any more than you can buy the food served at the banquet. When our Lord told this parable, His audience understood the custom of a great king providing the outer garments that people would wear at a great banquet. There was no good reason why anyone invited would refuse to wear those clothes unless he despised the king and wanted to insult him. Those who refuse the clothes God offers in His church are not merely insulting a king. They are insulting Jesus of Nazareth, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They are despising His holy living. They are denying His innocent suffering. They are rejecting His righteousness offered to us in the gospel, which alone covers our sins and makes us righteous before God. They're saying that they are good enough for God just as they are. They're saying that they are doing God a favor by coming to His banquet. They are trampling underfoot the blood of the New Testament of Jesus, and they will surely be sent to eternal hell. I don't know who these people are, and neither do you, But it is as Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Who the hypocrites are, we leave up to God. But they do come to the banquet. They receive baptism, but not in repentance and faith. They hear the absolution, but shut it out by unbelief. They hear the words of the sermon. They eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper, but they don't gain anything because they have not come as beggars to be fed. They have not come as sinners to be forgiven. They have not come for eternal life, but to go through religious motions for whatever carnal reason their pride has chosen. They hear, but they do not hear. They sing, but they don't praise God. They pray, but their prayers are vain because they are not offered in faith if they are not trusting in the blood and righteousness of Jesus. They may give a generous offering, but even if their check clears the bank, God doesn't accept it. They sit, they stand, they kneel, but they've got no wedding clothes on. They're stark naked. And even if no human being sees their shame, God does. He wants to cover their shame, guilt, and sin. He wants to clothe them with the garments of salvation, as he has always desired to cover the shame of sinners, so that their praise to God might be genuine, as was Isaiah's when he exclaimed, "I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." We are beggars, that's for sure. Beggars who want their raggedy clothes burned so that we can be clothed in the beautiful robe of Christ's righteousness. Nothing else can cover our shameful sin. Nothing else gives us the right to stand before God. Without Christ's robe covering us, we would all surely be bound hand and foot and thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But we are Christ's. So we are as precious to God as is the obedience of his holy Son. We are as holy as is the holiness of Jesus. We stand before God himself, our righteous judge, with no shame, no fear, and no regrets, because God himself has fed us, and God himself has clothed us, and we belong to him. He is the one we serve. We worship the God who has invited us, called us, chosen us, fed us, and covered all our sin. He is the God who will also accept in fatherly love whatever praise we offer to him. There's nothing that we will enjoy in heaven that we don't have already. But now it is ours by faith. In heaven, what we have now by faith, we will see and feel and experience fully. Right now, we cannot afford to go by sight because everything we see is going to be destroyed with this world. But what we have now by faith is just as sure as what we will then see with our own eyes. The kingdom of grace in which we live today is not a different church from the kingdom of glory. It is the same church. Here on earth, we are the church under the cross. In heaven, we will be the church in glory. Our greatest treasure here on earth will be our greatest glory in heaven. As we sing in that beautiful Lenten hymn, "And when thy glory I shall see and taste thy kingdom's pleasure, thy blood my royal robe shall be, my joy beyond all measure. When I appear before thy throne, thy righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me. And there in garments richly wrought, as thine own bride I shall be brought to stand in joy beside thee." Amen. We thank you for being our guests on this broadcast, Christ for Us, every week. And we're happy to bring it to you. It's sponsored by the congregations, St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview, Montana, Divine Service Sunday morning at 8:30. Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney, Montana, Divine Service at 10:45 on Sunday morning. Please tune in next week for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.